Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Welcome to the Zombie Book Club, the only zombie book club where sometimes the book is a movie and sometimes the zombies are us, because let's face it, we're all gonna die in a zombie apocalypse.
And I'm Leah.
And I'm Dan.
Leah, what I mean, Dan, what kind of things would you say about yourself at the beginning?
I'm Dan, and I'm a writer, and I'm writing a book based in a zombie apocalypse. And if you're a Trump supporter, get the fuck out.
And I'm Leah, and it's the fourth episode, and I've reached the fourth dimension status where you turn into a zombie.
I doubt that's what the New Agers mean when they say fourth dimension. I love it.
I think it is what they mean.
You think so?
Yeah.
So zombies are ascended beings.
Yeah. Also, I mean, if this is the connection that we're making, I just want to point out that the grocery store that we go to has an aisle that's dedicated to quote unquote New Age teas. So are these, is this tea that turns you into a zombie?
I mean, anything's possible. If you can become a zombie from cordyceps, you can become a zombie from
Oh my
hibiscus
God, I
tea.
don't even want to start on that. Dan,
Yes, Leah.
would you like to switch bodies and go back to our own bodies?
I'm really enjoying having a dick, so I don't know.
Comes in
Sure.
handy, like if you have to like pee while you're running, or I mean, I guess you can do that too without a penis. It
I feel
just
like
it's probably
in both,
messier.
is it though? In both, if you're wearing pants, in both cases, there's going to be like a gross wet thing and some dribble.
I don't know. You can whip it out while you're running, I think.
I
Not
don't
that
think
I've done
humans.
that, but
Have you done that,
I
Dan?
haven't. No.
Okay. All right. I guess we've already switched bodies. I'm back to being Leah again.
I'm Dan. Welcome to the Zombie Book Club, the only zombie book club where sometimes a book is a movie and sometimes the zombies are us, because let's face it, we're all gonna die in a zombie apocalypse.
No, I did it
I'm
better.
doing the intro again. I don't know if this joke lands.
Could have been bad. Yeah, who knows?
Personal update, Leah.
Oh.
We survived the snow war of 2023, a war between the humans and the snow.
Is the snow a zombie or is it sentient?
Oh,
Zombie is sentient.
I think the snow is sentient, but it is an environmental hazard like zombies are.
True.
Yeah, so we had these things called ice dams on our roof. Which, if you don't own a home and or don't live up north, you don't know about these. But basically, what happens is your roof is leaking heat through it and melts the snow on the top of your roof, and then the water dribbles down to the edge of your roof where there's no more heat and it's cold, and it causes it to freeze, making an ice dam,
Damn.
and the water pools in the ice dam. And then backs up underneath your shingles and rots out the boards that make up your roof and drip inside your house and give you black mold and slowly kill you by turning you into a black mold zombie.
And we probably have that black mold on our house already.
Don't
Yeah.
think we do. I really don't think we do.
It's not a bet I want to make with you, but
I'm gonna
anyways,
make
tell
let's make
us.
that bet. What do you want to bet?
What am I gonna get if we have black mold in our house? Sick. I feel like this is a losing bet.
All right, so if I'm right, I get sick. And if you're right, you get sick. We all get sick.
Was the wrong time for me to sip my tea. Perfect. Okay, well, tell us, Dan, how did you deal with these damn dams, ice dams?
I dealt with the dams. The damn dams. I put up these heating elements, which are basically really all they are is an extension cord with like a dummy load at the end that makes it act like there's something going on. And the cord gets warm, and typically you put them up when it's not the middle of winter, but we had gutters installed like 2 days before a massive snowstorm in the middle of the winter. So I was kind of waiting for those gutters to be put up before I attempted to install this stuff, but unfortunately it was just too late to do that because, you know, they were installed in January somehow. Like, that blew our minds that people were willing to come out in the middle of January to install gutters on our house.
They were using their bare fucking hands too. Like, they were not wearing gloves half the time. They were supposed to, for the record, put it in like end of September, early October, but got canceled. So
yeah. But anyways, I ended up just kind of like looping it around and tying it off and wrapping it around the gutters and going back and around, making a big rat's nest. And it worked. It works. It's melting ice.
Yeah. And our brand new, very expensive gutters are not at risk of getting broken off. So I'm really happy. Thank you, Dan.
I mean, there was a point where it was, you know, they were looking pretty bad. Like, they are installed at an angle. And because there was so much ice inside of them, that it was weighing them down. So, like, it was like high in the middle and then drooping at both ends.
Yeah, I really hope it's okay. You know, we shouldn't be talking about this because we have a warranty and like they could totally use this.
Oh my God. This podcast. I hope that the people who installed our gutter systems don't listen to this podcast and then put together that it's us somehow and then void our warranty because we got ice inside of them.
I'm a paranoid puppy. What can I say? But you won the war of 23, so I'm very...
I won it.
And poor Dan, you were like constant... I was constantly like texting you. I was like in work meetings and I was seeing these giant icicles form on the gutters. And I kept texting you being like, they've got to fix it. So I appreciate your patience with my anxiety, my ice dam anxiety.
And then also I went around this week and I plastic wrapped all of our windows on the first floor. Well, almost all the windows, all the big windows anyways. Yeah, I need more plastic is what I need. And that's probably helping keep, I mean, I know in the kitchen, like the inside of the plastic has like frost on it. So
wow,
I think that one's working.
Yeah, we're dealing with like a serious freeze. It was minus 40 with wind chill. Yeah. Anybody with like farm animals was pretty panicked, particularly the sanctuary that we donate to.
But everybody lived. We're probably like 30 or so miles from where they recorded the coldest temperature in North America, which was negative 103 degrees at the top of Mount Washington.
Sounds like hell. Yeah. When hell freezes over.
I saw it on CNN. I didn't know about this because of our proximity to the location. I saw a clip of it on CNN on YouTube, and they were asking him, they were like, so how long would it take you to get frostbite in a situation like this if you went out completely exposed? And he's like, well, if I ran outside naked, I guess I'd probably get frostbite in about 30 seconds.
That's fast.
Yeah.
I always worry about like eyeball frostbite. I don't know if that's a thing, but that's what scares me is like, can your eyes get frostbite? Because it's the one thing you can't really cover. I mean, just goggles.
You have eyelids.
Well, yeah, but you got to keep them open to see what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if you're prepared for extreme temperatures, you probably have goggles. Like if you work in Antarctica or something.
Yeah, I think if we have a zombie apocalypse, we should prepare with having some ski goggles to be outside in the wintertime, just in case. What else
also,
have you been up
to? I want to point out that Antarctica does not get to negative 103 degrees, as far as I know.
But does the Arctic? I don't.
Yeah, it's like negative 70, negative 80 usually in the winter.
I'm fact checking you while you tell us what else you've been up to, Dan. I'm fact checking you right now.
Check those facts, Leah.
I don't believe you.
Check those facts. Well, while you check that fact, I'll move on. We're rewatching The Walking Dead from season one, and it's been great. I've watched The Walking Dead like, I don't know, all the way through. This might be my 10th time. I feel like it's gotta be. I mean, I used to just like rewatch the series every time there was a new season. So, it wouldn't be surprising if it's like 10 or 11 times at this point.
That's incredible. Probably my third.
I slowed down a little bit when we got together because, like, you know, watching a series like The Walking Dead used to be just how I got to sleep.
Mm.
Yeah, I just put it on.
The soothing sounds of zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, and gunfire and screaming and crying and people losing their loved ones. That's a pick me up.
Definitely also some very soothing dreams as well.
Yeah.
Sidebar, you were correct. Thank you for your patience with us. I fact checked you. It's like minus 80.9 degrees Fahrenheit, 62.7 Celsius.
I hesitated to say it because I didn't know if it was true or not, but I'm pretty sure that the CNN report said that it was recorded as the coldest place on Earth.
Wow.
So I didn't want to say that, thinking that maybe there was colder places, but I don't know. I feel like it's got to be at least a contender.
I think so. Thank God we're not up there. We're down in the valley comparatively. But anyways, so we've been watching Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Which we're going to talk a lot more about at a later date, because that could take over this entire episode if we were not careful.
Yeah, we knocked out season one in like 2 days.
Yeah. It's so good.
Also, speaking of so good, we also started The Last of Us.
Amazing.
And at the time of recording, we are only on the third episode. That's all that there is available to us is episode 3 at this point. And we were not expecting the level of storytelling that episode 3 was going to give us. No. We'll talk about this in depth when we cover The Last of Us at some point.
Yeah, if we talk about episode 3, I'll just start crying and not be able to do the rest of this episode, because it's so good. If you've not watched it, watch it. I gotta say.
I've got two more personal updates. I started flying drones. My mom bought me a drone for Christmas.
What a nice gift.
Yeah, it's like one of those it's a cheap drone, but it's like one of those ones that, like, when you Google search it, they're like, why everyone's buying this really cheap drone and how great it is. So it's one of those. The name of it is really weird. The company is called Holy Stone. I don't know what that's about. I didn't get a Bible with it though.
Holy Stone.
So like, I feel holy, like that's, yeah. Some Christian element of this drone company that they're like trying to push their agenda or something, but I didn't get any like Jesus literature with it. So I think we're okay.
Well, that's a win.
Yeah, unless it's in the Chinese part of the user manual, in which case I did not translate it, so I don't know.
You never know.
No telling. Also, my life has been kind of taken over by an obsession that I started at midnight one night when I was awake and couldn't sleep. I was thinking about All Flesh Must Be Eaten, the last episode that we recorded, and I was like, I can make a better version of this and I can make it entirely in Google spreadsheets and make it so that nobody needs to know what the rules are and everything's auto-calculated, and started from like a really genuine heartfelt desire to make something fun. And then it turned into a brain melting obsession where I was Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia doing the Beautiful Mind scene where all the things on the walls are connected, and he's like chain smoking cigarettes and screaming about Excel conspiracy formulas. Theories
for you, it's Excel formulas.
Yeah, I'm making formulas. I've had for 3 days straight dreams about programming spreadsheet cells to make this fucking game, and I'm at a point where I'm like, I need to stop. This has to stop. This has to end.
Are you asking for an intervention right now?
Please, I need an intervention. This is how interventions work.
When I see you as I'm like dozing off to sleep over on your phone, and I notice that it is not Instagram or anything else fun, it is a spreadsheet on your phone. What would you like me to do?
I mean, by that point, it's too late.
Oh, okay. Shit.
If I'm awake in the middle of the night messing with spreadsheets, there's nothing you can say to me.
I mean, I have woken up to that, so it's a real issue.
It's already gone too far at that point. It's just like we were talking a little bit about this over breakfast before we started recording, but I have a lot of ideas. And I have ADHD, 100%, 1,000,000% ADHD, all the ADHD. And I do have good ideas, but like I have so many ideas that like to devote time to one idea takes away time from another idea, like my fucking book I'm writing that I've put off this whole week because I was programming fucking Excel spreadsheet cells to calculate damage and range and players' health and mental state.
Is this my fault? Because when we did the All Flesh Must Be Eaten episode, you realized that I might actually like a game if it was not fucking complicated?
No. I don't think so. Because I've always thought this. I've always been like, I love All Flesh Must Be Eaten. I just wish that the parts that were shitty about it weren't shitty. And it'd be so simple to do that.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I can't start. If I see the spreadsheet up, it's too late.
Yeah,
maybe we need to put your phone in a different, maybe we need to commit to putting our phones in different rooms when we sleep, which I know sounds fucking terrible. I remember I read that thing to you, or I sent you a meme. I don't know if it's true. All memes are true, right? Like, I don't need to fact check them. But that one being like, no wonder we're all anxious and depressed. The first thing we do is look at our phone when we get up. And the last thing we do is look at when we go to bed. We should probably put them away. That would stop you. Then you would just have to dream about it.
It would only be my dreams at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's
it.
What
wouldn't
we're gonna
be 100% of my mental energy and time. It would only be my dreams.
We've been doing loft tea time anyways, where we've been trying to be device free before bed. So we could just like extend that. I know it's going to be hard. We both have a problem, as does pretty much anybody in this society, I think. But that's what I'm going to try, Dan. I know you're not going to like it when I live up to it tonight, or then tell you I want my phone, but you can't have yours.
Loft tea time, by the way, is we go into our loft and we sit in a giant adult-sized beanbag chair and we drink tea and do nothing.
Listen to music sometimes, chat. Not allowed to talk about work. It's
a
no
phone zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dream.
And I just want to point out that if we didn't spend this time to relax and connect with each other, that we could fit in so many more episodes of The Walking Dead.
It's true. It means we're only about watching about one episode a night, most nights. So that's okay. Sorry, Dan. I like my cuddle time.
Tell us what you've been doing, Leah, for this past... Actually, it's been 2 weeks, hasn't it?
I think it has. Yeah. For I forget us. What happened last week since we've recorded, but I'm back to work from vacation, which is fine. It's fine. Now picture me with the burning stuff behind me. It's fine.
We
it's
in the
work.
Meme where you're sitting in the chair and everything's on fire
fine.
This is fine.
Everything's fine. You know, I'm trading my life for money. It's fine.
Yeah. It's just Leah, it's just your youth, your mental health, your physical health, the time that you have here on this planet, your personal relationships, the things that you care about, the things that fulfill you in life. I don't know, there's probably some more factors. It's only those things, Leah.
That was a real pick-me-up, Dan. That definitely is helping my existential crisis that I have. No, work is, I mean, truly it is fine, but I like, it's good, it's fine. At this point in my life, I've realized my career is not the most important thing. So, but it is financing my life, so there's that. And I have been doing a lot more art. Unless you're somebody who knows me, listening to this podcast, then you would not know that our horse, Atlas, died 4 months ago now. So that was devastating and not something I'm going to get into in great detail. But basically, he took up a lot of our time, a lot of my time, and I loved him very much. And now that he's gone, I'm like, what the fuck do I do with myself? I don't know what to do. So I've been making a lot more art, which has been great. I finished a painting I started 2 years ago, and I've been making little ornaments, dog ornaments.
Do you want a dog ornament?
Well, I was actually
Leah
thinking
she'll make you one for $200.
It takes time. They're pretty great, though. I will say I'm very impressed with myself, having never used.
Could you describe
clay
what
before?
A dog ornament looks like?
It's like a profile, like a bust of your dog's face, basically, with clay. So they're super cute. I've made three so far. I'm going to make more. Maybe if we have a Patreon one day for this, I will make like zombie ornaments, because who doesn't want a zombie profile on their Christmas tree?
We should just design like a zombie cookie cutter, basically, so that we just roll out the clay and then just mass produce those.
You could actually. And then
Patreon
I could make different details.
Zombie ornaments.
I could have a couple of basic head stamp outs. I like this, Dan. This is genius. Let us know if you want a zombie ornament.
Do you want zombies hanging from a tree?
Because I could even make you a zombie runner that looks like you if you send me your face.
Oh my god, that'd be
Now that's custom shit, yeah. Though. That's not gonna be cheap, I'll be honest. And
that'll cost you $200.
I think it's the last thing I'll say is I wrote Atlas what I thought was gonna be a letter and turned into a biography that's like 30 pages long almost. So I've been posting that, and I'm posting the rest of it tonight. Nobody's reading it. It's fine. Also fine in the capital F fine. But
well, what you found is that people read the first chapter and then getting them to come back to read the rest.
Yeah, it doesn't say much about my writing.
Well, I think it's hard to ask people to come back to something. Like I feel like, you know, like podcasts are a different story because podcasts become part of people's like daily routine. Like they wake up, they're on their commute to work, and they want something in their ears talking about something they find vaguely interesting, and they don't really care who it is as long as it doesn't sound like shit and they're mildly funny. And that's where we come in.
Woo! Yes, winning.
But anything else where it's like, you know, maybe it's not something they're necessarily emotionally invested in, but they do it because they are interested in you as a person, it's hard to get them to come back for more. When there are so many options for entertainment out there.
Well, what I've realized is it's really more for me because it's a place where I can go back and look at pictures that I posted of him and remember what happened. I'm going to post all of it today because it's the full moon, which will not be the probably be like a month from now before you hear this, but whatever. It's the full moon right now, so that's a good
Should
time to post it.
Should we put the link to it in the description?
Yeah, if you want to read about Atlas, he was a good guy.
Atlas was a sweetheart.
And you know what? If you can read about zombies, you can read about the horrible death my horse had. You'll be fine.
Yeah. There's no zombies in it, but
no, but not great. Not great things. It's most of it's great, though. Most of it's about his life. And then it gets not so great at the end.
As you know, think of it as like episode 3 of The Last of Us. It's not about zombies. It's about a woman and her horse. It's the standalone episode that is still canon to the rest of the story.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad I wrote it. Anyhow, let's get back to zombies.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to be talking about what kind of zombies we would be if we got bitten.
Oh.
Because everybody always wants to be the hero, but most people get eaten.
That's true. It wouldn't be a great show if most people were the hero and there are only like a couple of zombies.
Yeah. So how are we going to go about finding out what kind of zombies we are, Leah?
We're going to take a zombie quiz that I found that I think is a pretty great quiz, but I know you might feel differently about it. But before we take the quiz, Dan, I would like to know, just to set the stage, before we find out kind of what kind of zombie you are, how would you become a zombie? Like what situation in which you'd be most likely to become a zombie?
Jeez, I don't know.
I think trying to save me. That's my theory.
Yeah, being a hero would probably be my downfall. Also, being a hero in any scenario that requires me to run away at the end. You know, because I feel like if it's a stand your ground situation, like, you know, I've got a proper, you know, I'm properly funneling them into my kill zone. And, you know, I'm good to go with, like, my fire axe or whatever I have that I'm just splattering zombies with. I feel like I could just go and go and go probably 8 hours straight until there's no zombies left. But if I'm like surrounded, like I'm in a parking lot and they're just coming at me and I gotta go, I'm like, I'll run a ways. I might even run like a mile, but after that mile, I'm just gonna be like, I'd rather die. Just fucking leave me. I'm dead. Just go on without me. I'm no longer going any further than this.
Running is the fucking worst. It truly is.
If I have to run, hopefully I have the wherewithal to run to a good location that I can funnel them through, you know, and just start, you know, zombie splattering.
Yeah, well, see, you're a survivor. I'm not talking about what you do to survive. You're going to die. I asked, how are you most likely to die?
Well, that's what I mean, is if I don't have that option. Wherewithal to think ahead, and which if I'm running, I probably won't be thinking at the same time. So I'll probably turn round a corner after running a mile, be exhausted, and see an entire other zombie horde that was moving adjacent to me now cutting me off, and I'm just like, we're done. It's over. Come and get
just
me.
Just let them have
me
for
bitches.
Lunch. Yeah. I mean, they're hungry, right? You're just helping them out.
Yeah.
I think if I was going to become a zombie, it would be the result of my my hyper-focus, because one of the greatest things to know about us is that we are an ADHD couple. It's a good time.
Yeah.
So I can
take
imagine
all of
like...
the difficulties of having ADHD and then multiply it.
Two people.
Yeah.
I'd probably be like walking in the woods or doing something, and I would like be not present, because that's what happens. So I'm the kind of person that would like walk into fucking oncoming traffic. So I'm easy bait. If my brain is distracted and has decided to like think really deeply about squirrels, it's too late. I'm gonna be dead. So now that we're zombies, let's do the quiz.
I think that there's a combo to this story, which is how we both die.
And how we both die.
That would probably be taking the dogs for a walk, and Nero won't shut up because he sees a zombie and just starts barking like crazy, and we're trying to wrangle Nero in, and then we just get surrounded by zombies and we all die.
That's really true. Like, our dogs would be a huge liability. I love them so much, but I don't know what I would do about them in a zombie apocalypse.
They have emotional problems.
Well, they're also just loud. Like, Ziggy barks at us every day, twice a day, to eat a dentist stick.
Yeah. He doesn't bark any other time. Quiet. But, like, when he wants his dentist stick, he will yap his head off.
Well, he also barks when people come up the driveway. He barks when we come home. They're not quiet. It would be a problem. So they would also become zombies with us. All right. Are you ready to do this highly evidence-based zombie identification quiz from BuzzFeed? Damn.
Yeah, I'm ready for this.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're both going to take it together. You got to click on the link, too.
Yeah, I'm clicking on that link.
You let me know when you're there.
You better
and I'm
believe
read the
I'm
questions.
Clicking on this link. It's from BuzzFeed, so we know that this is fact-based. Did
Absolutely.
You know that BuzzFeed laid off like a third of their workforce because they are replacing them with ChatGPT AI software?
Wow.
They're going to just randomly generate their articles now from AI, which I can't talk. I've been staying up late at night asking ChatGPT questions about like why my YouTube channel failed. So I get it. I get the desire.
Dan, there's 39 comments on this quiz. We're going to look at those when we're done.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So it's called You Get Turned Into a Zombie, But What Kind of Zombie Are You? It's by Hattie Soykin. Which
she's probably
let's see if she's
off.
Fired. Yeah, who knows? It's also like back
Hattie,
in 2017.
If you're listening, have you been laid off by BuzzFeed?
We appreciate you in this quiz. Or like,
yeah,
we don't know
thank
if we
you
do
for
yet.
This quiz.
All right.
Okay, so I should disclose that I took this quiz once before, but I think I was confused because the first question asks us, how long would you survive the apocalypse before you got the bite? And I feel like there was a point where I was confused about whether or not I was a survivor or a zombie. So I think we have to keep in mind that this question sets the scene that we have gotten bitten. All right. So let's just
we're eventually going to get bitten. But right now it wants to know how long we survive before we get bitten.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So we have some options.
Okay.
A solid 5 years TBH. A year if I'm lucky. A couple months. A week. I could probably last a day, and honestly, like 30 seconds.
I'm going to say for me, a year if I'm lucky, and that's not anything to do with my survival skills and more to the fact that I have hitched my wagon to you and we live in a really rural place. So that's what I'm picking. What are you picking?
I feel like a year we could do, but I want to say a solid 5 years because I feel like if you make it a year, you're going to make it 5 years.
All right, then you can pick that. We'll pick different ones.
But, there's many things to consider. But this is before we got the bite, so I'm not thinking about starvation or anything. Yeah, I feel like after a year, we would have either found a way to survive without having to go to populated areas. But this would be about the time that anything rural would be completely depleted. Like, we wouldn't be able to go loot the butcher and pantry, for example.
Yeah, within
that place
a year
would be cleaned out. There wouldn't even be shelves left.
All the Bostonites would be here too.
Yeah. So I feel like after a year, that's when we have to like make hard decisions. Like, do we go to Burlington to go loot someplace?
Yeah, which is also already totally ruined. But okay. So you're saying 5 years. I'm saying max a year. which I think tracks. I'd probably die and you'd keep going. So,
all right. I picked a solid 5 years.
Okay. So the next question is, what's your biggest pet peeve? Slow walkers.
Oh, wow.
Talking while eating. Bad texters. Cutesy pet names. Oh, I already know what yours is. Rude drivers. And the last one is the patriarchy.
Which I know what yours is. Let's just pick the ones that we know we're going to pick, and everybody else can just figure it out on their own.
You're not going to tell them? I'm going to say drivers. My biggest pet peeve, the patriarchy, clicking it. Dan's rude drivers. Okay, you read the next one, Dan.
Yeah, I think this is maybe why I got confused, because the next question is, who would be in your zombie crew? And I think what they're asking is, who's the other zombies that are hanging out with you now that you're a zombie?
I find this question confusing as well.
Yeah, because your zombie crew could be the crew that you kill zombies with.
That's how I read it, is like the people that you're... But then the first option is my studly zombie lover, and I'm like, is this like, what's that? What's the... You like to have sex with dead people? Necrophilia?
Necrophilia?
Are they a zombie and your lover? I'm a little confused by that one.
Oh, yeah. Like they're having sex with a zombie?
Yeah, that's what I first thought. Zombie crew. Who would be in your zombie crew? Meaning like, who are you going to survive with? But then I read that first one and I got confused. So,
yeah, I don't know about this either. So our options are my studly zombie lover. Should I pick that one?
I mean, I was going to pick that one, but you can pick whatever you want. Am I your studly zombie lover?
A ragtag team of misfits. My family. My dog. Anyone who wants to have a fun time.
This makes me think they're still alive.
Yeah, I feel like this is still alive times. So I guess, you know what? I think I would have my family around.
Yeah, that's what I was going to pick too.
But also that includes my dog and my studly zombie lover.
Well, that's why I want my family, because it includes all of you.
Okay.
Yeah. And also why I also think I wouldn't live that more than a year, because the dogs. Okay. I'm choosing my family
as
well.
It's my family.
Okay. What's next?
What are you like as a friend?
Huh.
All right. So our options are kind of self-absorbed, TBH. the one with all the advice. Pretty chill and full of bants.
What the fuck's a bant?
I don't know. Why don't you Google that and I'll go through the rest. The messy one. Oh, I think I'm the messy one. loyal. Yeah. Oh, I'm also the loyal one. And the group introvert. I'm all three of those.
Oh, no.
I'm the one with all the advice, the messy one, loyal, and the group introvert.
Well, you're also
pretty chill and full of bants.
Yeah,
maybe.
Because you are, because you playfully tease or mocking remarks exchanged with another person or group banter. Oh, wow. It's going to be a top night with plenty of bants. Oh, Dan bants me all the time. So that's a real one for you.
Yeah. I think that is me, but I'm the other ones too. Which one am I the most, though?
Yeah. Why don't we pick for each other?
Okay.
I'm going to say that you're pretty chill with full of bants. Okay. That's what I'd pick for you. So you have to click that one. I'm not going to click it.
Yeah, I'm going to click it. Oh,
which one am I?
Definitely loyal, for sure.
All right, let's go.
Are you
that.
The one with all the advice?
I feel like I can be that person sometimes.
Yeah, I think sometimes you are. But you also listen to. Definitely not the messy one. I'm the messy one.
I don't know. I'm pretty messy. I'm just less messy than you.
I think loyal is accurate. You're definitely very loyal to your friends.
Well, thank you. Okay, I'll click loyal.
All right. So this is where the quiz seems to shift, and now it's about us being zombies.
Okay.
Who would you bite first? My family and friends for lols.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who wronged me in high school 10 years ago.
Wow.
Oh, that might be me. Except high school wasn't 10 years ago.
Yeah. whoever, a lot longer.
Whoever I see first, TBH. Which honestly, if you're a zombie, that is the answer.
That is the correct one. Yeah. Like the rest of these are all fantasies. Anyways, keep going. What's the next one?
The morally corrupt.
Like it.
Yep. Celebs and hot boys.
Hot boys. See.
Hot boys.
Hot boys. I would love to do celebs with a morally corrupt, but like, that's not real. I'm going to pick whoever I see first.
Yeah, I'm going to pick that too, because if you're a zombie, it's literally the only correct answer.
Yeah.
Other than my family and friends for lulz, because that's probably who you're going to see first.
Yeah, that's one of the fucked up parts of the apocalypse, is that once you turn, you're going to turn on the people you love most.
Yeah. So we gave the obvious answer because we do not have a choice as to who we attack first. All right. What would be your greeting of choice for humans you encounter?
Oh, God. Can we take turns reading these?
Yeah. Well, why don't you read them?
Okay. That's the first one.
Okay. Okay.
That's the next one. I don't know what that one is.
Oh, wait. I thought it's like people. It's PL over and over again.
Yeah. And then eep? Who eeps as a zombie? And oh my God, a laughing zombie.
That would be terrifying if all zombies just laughed hysterically all the time.
And the last one's going to tell you a secret. Psst.
Psst.
I am absolutely going to be the secret zombie. I'm going to pick.
Yeah, like right before you attack, you just like tap them on the shoulder and like, I got to tell you a secret. And then you bite their ear off. You're like, people.
That's my new thing I do to you, because I'm just quick sidebar. A lot of the time I'll hug Dan and I'll put my mouth on his neck and he freaks out. He's like, don't vampire me. Now I'm going to you into your ear.
Question, Leah, since you're using tactics to bite people's ears off, is for a zombie, is the human ear, is that like people jerky?
I think it's got an excellent texture that they enjoy, but I think they prefer to rip through like flesh and tendons.
Well, I think this is a specific type of zombie that you picked that bites ears.
That's true. Well, it's a good way to get to the brain, right?
And also, if you bite the ear, like, is the lobe the best part? You're like, that lobe.
Oh,
that's
so
a dead
tender.
Lobe.
A little bit of extra jewelry crunch in there. Okay, what sound would you make?
I'm going to go with a...
That feels more accurate, yes. Yeah.
All right, so I picked that one.
Oh, hey! Oh my God, it's almost like you knew. The next question is, which body part would you prey on? Ooh. Eyes, brain, legs... Are those supposed to be tits? What the fuck is that?
Yeah, those are boobies.
They're brackets with underscores, if you can picture that. They make it look like boobs. Heart or hair?
You know, I'm going to go for the legs.
That's a really low location. I'm going to go for
That's why
boobs.
It works, because you can just fall and grab them and trip up your victims and then munch on their feet while they're trying to get away.
That's very strategic of you as a zombie.
Yeah, I'm going for the legs.
I'm going straight for boobs. Why not?
You're going to eat the boobs.
Yeah. Also a very tender location.
Yeah, full of adipose fat tissue. All right. Where will you live out your zombie days?
See, these are confusing. So this is a fucking terrible quiz, okay? Because you're dead eating people, but now you're able to watch DVDs and some rich person's. So now we're alive again, apparently.
Well, we're zombies, but we get to choose where we be zombies. So our options are squatting in the city.
No.
A beautiful remote beach. I mean, that sounds like a winner to me.
Yeah.
Among the remains of my childhood home.
Absolutely fucking not. That sounds like a nightmare.
Graveyard, duh. A spooky forest. Well, or watching DVDs in some rich person's bunker.
Well, I want to pick a beautiful remote beach, but if I'm a zombie, I think being in the city is my best bet to get a meal.
Yeah.
But if I'm alive, I want to be at the beach. So I'm going to assume I'm alive here and pick the beach.
Yeah. I'm going to pick watching DVDs in some rich person's bunker because, you know, I feel like if it was just set on repeat for like a season of The Walking Dead, like that would entertain me for quite a long time.
I think you'd be pretty happy. It's true.
Yeah. All right. Who would you want as a leader?
Oh, God.
I mean, zombies. I guess some zombies could have leaders. So, all right. So our options are Robot Beyonce.
Who wrote this? Who Hattie wrote this? Hattie, what the fuck were you thinking with these questions? This is terrible.
Hattie, did you use AI for this?
It's bad. Because these questions really do go back and forth between you being alive and dead. So robot Beyonce, who would you want as a leader? Robot Beyonce?
Robot Beyonce. Me, OFC, of course, if you didn't get that. There will be no hierarchy in the new world, which I think that's what I'm going for. A democratically elected candidate. Could you imagine a zombie election?
I mean,
it's like, are you voting for or ah?
I'd vote for it's more fun to say.
Seriously, have you even read about Oz policies? Oz basically Hitler, Leah.
Is he seen like the superior zombie race?
He's the superior zombie race. Yeah, the Oz.
What makes them superior?
The fifth one is whoever is physically strongest.
Oh.
Or the moon will be my commander.
Sold. Moon will be my commander. If I'm a zombie, I'm going to be following whatever the moon tells me to do.
I'm going to pick robot Beyonce.
Are you really?
No, I'm going to pick there will be no hierarchy in the new world.
I wish one of us was good enough to try and sing like a robot Beyonce, but I don't think I could do it. Could you?
Yeah, I totally can.
All right, you got to do it right now.
All right. Give me a Beyonce song. A Beyonce
Looking
song.
So crazy in love.
Looking so crazy in love.
No, I'm never mind. Oh God.
I don't know if I've ever heard that song. I must have, right?
You got me looking so crazy right now, you love.
Oh yeah.
Get you touch. Got me
looking so crazy right now.
No, that's terrible. That's never mind. I'm sorry, Beyonce. We'll also
Robot
never
Beyonce.
Hear this. Robot Beyonce. Okay.
No hierarchy in the new world. That's me.
Okay. I know what I am. It tells me. And I'm actually very pleased with my answer.
You want to go first?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. You get turned into a zombie, but what kind of zombie are you? The sexy zombie! Exclamation point.
Nice.
You're the zombie with the smoking bod that turns heads a full 360 degrees. You lure the living in with your sexy corpse look, often fooling them into thinking you're a living goth before devouring them with no remorse. You're in an open, loving relationship with the most beautiful zombie in the world, aside from you. That's a compliment to you, Dan.
Yeah,
and you've never
like
been
you.
More fulfilled. Your apocalyptic life is almost the exact opposite of how you used to live, and you're thriving.
Wow.
So I was not sexy or thriving.
Strangely
before I became
accurate.
A zombie. Oh, burn. Okay.
All right. Are
what
you ready
you?
For me?
Yes.
I am the old school zombie.
Of course you are.
You're just mindlessly searching for food and you don't care who or what you destroy along the way. Brains, brains, one might hear you say. Sounds about accurate.
So you'd be my sexy stud zombie that I'm in an open, living relationship with.
Yeah.
I love
I
it.
Think so, yep.
Do you think that these are accurate zombie types?
A little bit.
Are there sexy zombies?
The old school zombie would be like a Romero zombie.
Oh.
A George Romero Night of the Living Dead zombie.
What would the sexy zombie be?
I don't know. Like a Rob Zombie album cover art for Living Dead Girl.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be it.
All right. I can see that. I'm okay with being that. Maybe a magical zombie. If you're sexy and like luring people, that implies some magic is involved.
Yeah. Or like, I hate to say it. Wednesday Addams.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Has anybody seen Wednesday? Can you give us a good reason for why we shouldn't hate it and should watch it instead? Because I don't know of one yet.
I don't either. And I feel like I don't even know anything about it, but the couple of clips I keep seeing on the internet, I'm just like, no, I'm refusing to watch this. It's like when Harry Potter came out. We'll see. Maybe one day.
All right. Well, that was a fun quiz.
Yeah, highly recommend. What so we want to know what zombie type you are, if you're not a sexy type or a old school zombie. So, Dan, that quiz sucked. And thank you
that's
for taking
what our notes say.
Yes,
because we decided before we took the quiz that it was terrible, but
yeah,
it kind
sorry,
of
Hattie.
Was because of the way that the questions were phrased. Like there's a lot of things where it's just like, you don't get to choose that when you're a zombie.
Yeah,
when you're a it zombie was... it takes away choice and complexity.
Hattie has not thought through zombies very much. She was the wrong person. They were the wrong person to write that quiz. I would love to see a quiz for you to write of like what type of zombie type you are, because I would say that there's probably other people out there with as much expertise in zombies as you, but I've never met one. So could you please tell us the three ways you could categorize zombies? Because we had quite a discussion about this.
Yeah. So we together determined that you could categorize zombies in three ways. Maybe there's more. Maybe there's different ways to do it, but this is what we came up with. Number one, origin and transmission type. Like, where did they come from? What created them? And how do they spread the love?
Spread the love.
Number two, personality types. Like, are they angry zombies? Or
sexy zombies, a personality
zombies?
Type.
Yeah. Do they, are they romantic zombies meant to fall in love with the humans and make zombie human baby hybrids?
Wow.
And number three,
Z-Nation.
Lethality levels. Like, are these like mutant zombies that are more deadly? Do they grow fangs? Do they have long claws? Do they do backflips off of buildings and
what
jump down on top of you like drop bears in Australia?
What zombie is that?
That would be the hunter zombie.
Oh God! If I encountered that zombie, my life expectancy in the apocalypse would go down real
so,
fast.
So, origin and transmission types. We got a few examples. So, a good example of an origin is where zombies come from. Haitian voodoo, which actually they don't call them zombies. It's actually zombie, Z-O-N-B-I.
Huh.
And they are magical zombies because, what it comes down to is a voodoo practitioner. Usually they pick somebody who's committed a heinous crime against somebody who needs to be punished. But sometimes they just pick people because they happen to be around and they don't like them. But
so make them a zombie.
Yeah. So what they do is they give them some type of drug. It's not specified what drug it is. I'm sure we could find out if we like did a deep dive on this. Maybe mm-hmm. our next vacation will be Haiti. And they give them this drug which lowers their heart rate and makes them appear dead. Like they'll turn like blue and gray, and they'll be passed the fuck out. They'll even like get kind of rigid and stiff for a little while.
Ooh.
They become cold. Their heartbeat is so faint that you can't hear it. And when they reach this state, they bury the person underground for 3 days.
Oh my God.
And because of the CO2 levels, like the outside layer of skin starts to become like gray and like cracked and like, and basically starts to look dead. They develop severe brain damage from asphyxiation, and then they dig up the person, and they are in a constant state of brain deadness, and everything that used to exist with them is now gone. And they continue to give them drugs to control them, but essentially they are slaves to the voodoo practitioner, who then use them to, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what voodoo practitioners have zombie slaves do for them. I just imagine that they went out into the forest and picked herbs or something. But I mean, we should probably do a deep dive on that, because there's
a
lot.
Is there a movie that's just about Haitian zombies? I know there's like, I'm thinking of one that's kind of derivative of what you've just told me, but I'm wondering if there's a movie about that would like exemplify the Haitian zombie.
Probably. White Zombie from 1939, I think. It was 1939.
Wow, that's an old movie.
Which is
writing it down.
essentially, I've never watched it, but it is on YouTube and we can watch it and we probably should at some point, is basically during the monster movie craze of like Frankenstein and Dracula, they made White Zombie, where basically they just took something that was weird and scary to white people.
Oh, great.
Like voodoo.
So this sounds like it's going to get deeply racist.
The Living Dead. Okay. And it's about that coming to white people land, America, and them making a white zombie, I think, is what I think it's about.
Huh.
We'll have to watch this, though, because I'm sure it'll be a fucking mind-blowing. It's probably going to be incredibly racist and problematic. You
know, it sounds like it. Then actually, we could watch that one and then also watch Get Out from 2017, where it's white people turning black people into zombies so that they can take over and use their bodies.
Monster movie double feature.
Yeah, White Zombie and Get Out would probably be a good antidote. All right, what other origin and transmission types do we have?
All right, so we got viral zombies. So these are zombies that are that become living dead by being infected by a virus.
So the most common, like Walking Dead zombies, are viral zombies.
But even in The Walking Dead, they admit that they don't know what caused it. Bacteria, a virus, a fungus.
Well, yeah, we just watched that episode where they show the quote unquote the first event.
Yeah, the exposition episode in the CDC.
Yeah.
Fucking exposition, the exposition hour.
Yeah, I feel like they were just like, you know, people are going to need an explanation for how zombies got to be zombies, so let's make them watch a CT scan.
I mean, not to go down a rabbit hole, but they really very nearly committed the largest zombie movie atrocity, which is explaining where it comes from, and especially explaining where it comes from with exposition, because the joy and wonder of the zombie apocalypse is that you don't know where it came from. You don't know how it started and you don't know how to fight it. And any movie where they're like, we have to find a cure, like, be wary of those types of shows and movies, because unless the answer is there is no cure and nobody knows where it came from, then it's probably going to be a whole lot of bullshit.
Don't they figure out what it is in like 28 weeks later, though?
28 weeks later?
Is it 28 weeks later where they solve the... I feel like this is true, but you can break that rule. No, there is a movie where in Shaun of the Dead, they fix... No, that's not true. They don't fix it. They just make them slaves.
Yeah, they just turn them into
cart pushers. I'm sure there's one that we've watched that they're looking for a cure, and they get a vaccine.
World War Z, at the end, they don't cure the illness or really discover where it came from. There's a lot of opinions where it started. And I think that's fine if they're like guessing, but nobody really knows. Mm-hmm. But what they did do is they created a sort of deterrent by infecting people with a bad disease that was curable. So they took a disease that would normally kill somebody, because they noticed that the zombies were avoiding like cancer patients and old people.
That's smart.
So they were avoiding people who were sick, because they didn't want disease to be mixed into their disease. They didn't want to have to compete for host bodies, and including somebody who has an illness into your zombie horde would be detrimental to your zombie horde if that disease was also contagious.
That's very, very smart. And I love how I've watched that movie multiple times and read the book and still forgot it.
It also wasn't in the book.
It wasn't?
It was.
It was only in the movie? See, I don't know. We'll have to watch it again.
The cure in the book, spoiler alert if you haven't read World War Z, it's not a huge spoiler, but the only cure for the zombie virus was a long campaign of fighting the living dead with military force and annihilating them from the planet.
Mm.
And as it turns out, it became much more difficult to do that in the later years, because a lot of the zombies kind of just went into the ocean and just stayed
poor
there.
Ocean.
And every now and then climb up somebody's anchor rope and climb onto their boat, or climb up onto the beach, or climb up onto a dock and start biting people all over again.
I'm surprised they're not rotting in the ocean. Okay, we're totally going away from zombie types.
Yeah.
I guess ocean type is... So the last transition type, which is interesting, you just said that you can never actually know for sure, but we have a whole category that is origin and transition types, is the fungal ones from The Last of Us, which is new.
And I think the idea of a fungal zombie has been around for a while, but never really explored in the way that The Last of Us does, which they pick a real fungus that can take over an animal and control that animal's actions so that they can grow off of the rotting remains of their corpse. So what it does is if it infects an ant, the Cordyceps militaris. They mentioned a different type of cordyceps, but I forget which one that cordyceps is. They all kind of do this, though, is they'll infect, the spores will get into an ant, and the mycelium will start growing, and they'll start growing through the vascular system of the ant and make its way from all of the limbs all the way to the brain, and they'll start pumping chemicals into the brain, which are not unlike the experiences that we had on the beach in Jamaica, where they start flooding hallucinogens into the brain to give this ant like this experience that tells them what the fungus wants the ant to do.
Well, maybe it's a really nice trip for the ant then.
It might be, yeah. Or it might be awful. Who knows? But it controls the ant and compels the ant to climb to the top of like a plant, you know, like a blade of grass or some kind of plant that it's on. And it climbs all the way to the top, and then it uses its jaws, and it basically lockjaws its jaws around the stem of the plant and locks it into place.
Wow. And
it just stays there until it dies.
Wow.
And then the cordyceps eats the ant and then spreads down through the plant into the ground and joins the mycelial network underground.
That's a dream if I was going to die. I mean, yeah. I think if I was going to pick my favorite origin transition type, it would be fungal. Like, yeah. Cordyceps, take me. It sounds like at least there's potentially a good trip.
And, like, I just want to mention briefly, like, so I'm really into mushrooms. It's my other love besides zombies. I grow mushrooms. I've studied mushrooms for, like, 5 years at this point, like, really deep diving into mushrooms and mycology and growing mushrooms and what mushrooms do and what they can do. And there's a lot of great mushrooms. And since The Last of Us show came out on HBO, it has raised like mycophobia. Like, we as a people, we have had mycophobia in some relation for like 1,000 years, where people just like,
at least white people.
Yeah, definitely white people, but like as a whole, it's like that thing where it's like one person got sick from eating something and they're like, don't eat that ever again, it's poison. So, you know, somebody goes out into the woods, they find a mushroom and they eat it and they die, and they're like, mushrooms are poisonous. And that's been going on for like 1,000 years, even though like before that, our existence has like always included a mushrooms. Wide variety of mushrooms for a number of reasons that go from like healing emotional trauma to repairing the neural network of your body. There's so many things that you can get from mushrooms. And now like, it's like since The Last of Us became a thing, it's like everybody who has an opinion about anything has now been making videos or posts or something. It's like, cordyceps is a real thing. It can actually turn you into a zombie. And then explains, actually, it can't turn you into a zombie because it can't infect human beings.
Clickbait, basically.
And it literally, everybody uses exactly what the show tells you in the first 5 minutes of the show. And they present it like they're the ones that are so smart for telling you this. Like, actually, humans can't be infected by Cordyceps militaris. Only insects can. And our body temperatures are too high to support the mycelium to grow inside of us. And it's like, yes, if you watch the show, you would know that. They're like, this is why it's not
very
realistic.
Upsetting for Dan.
It is. Well, it's really upsetting. Because like
zombies
now,
are not for realism. This is not a realistic genre.
Yeah. Like this isn't happening anymore.
No.
But and like comments of things like this are so upsetting because there's people, I remember one comment specifically was like, they were talking about cordyceps and how it's actually real. And then somebody's like, yeah, that it's an ingredient in a lot of nutritional supplements. And that, like, that was their gotcha moment. They're like, they're putting this in our food.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of the COVID vaccine. Be afraid of the cordyceps.
And one person was just like, and people are eating this willingly.
Like, I'm sure these are the same people as anti-vaxxers. Like it's all the same conspiracy.
Yeah.
It all comes back to like QAnon for sure. But I stand by it. I like fungal zombies the best. They were kind of cute, their little mushroom heads.
But it's unfortunate because cordyceps is like people are just now in the last 4 or 5 years discovering cordyceps because it's otherwise like an inedible mushroom. It's hard as wood. You can't just like take a bite out of cordyceps. It's like it'll break your teeth. It's fucking hard. But what you can do is you can grind it into a powder and add it to things like a tea or a nutritional supplement. And what people are realizing now is that taking cordyceps, especially for athletes, is like the cheat codes for performance.
Wow.
Because it's being used as a coffee replacement for some people because what it does is it releases energy on a cellular level. It's not like a chemical like caffeine that like shuts off the neuroreceptors that tell you that you're tired, but rather it's something that activates your cells on a cellular level and releases actual energy throughout your body and helps you turn your fat reserves and your carbohydrates and your proteins into usable energy.
Only convincing me more that I'm going to be a fungal zombie, but I know we could talk about fungus all day.
Oh, we could just start a new podcast. Yeah. That's just mushrooms.
Just mushrooms. And you could listen to Dan's rants about mushrooms. But we are here to talk about L zombie types. So you talked about origin transition types. Then there's personality types.
Personality types. Yeah. So these are the zombies that are defined by their personalities. So the first one I wanted to bring up was the intelligent zombie. And these are rare, but they do exist. And sometimes they exist in really bad movies. Other times they exist in really good movies. And you actually see these as well in the George Romero movies. So
How smart is a smart zombie?
Well, I'm about to tell you.
Excellent.
The intelligent zombie. So in some George Romero movies, he explores the possibility that zombies could begin to regain intelligence and memories from their past. They could unlock those if given the right stimulus.
That's a cool concept.
The first time that we see this is in Day of the Dead. 1985, Day of the Dead. There's a zombie that a scientist is working with in a lab underground long after the zombies have overthrown humanity. And the only people left are the people basically underground in missile silos. So he has a zombie that he's named Bub. And Bub, he is given Bub a series of tests and training to change his, the way that he interacts with the world. So, you know, he taught him to like answer a phone. So like the phone would ring and he'd teach him to answer the phone. And he tried to show this to the military personnel who were like losing their own members by the dozens trying to capture zombie test subjects and supplies for this guy's experiments. And he's like, I've taught it to answer the phone. And they wanted to fucking execute him at that exact moment. Spoiler alert. We'll have to watch that movie. It's pretty great.
So maybe I would actually say that the zombies that are in Shaun of the Dead could be like, if they were trainable, they might have been semi-intelligent zombies.
Yeah. So yeah, this falls into Shaun of the Dead as well. Also he taught the zombie that if he were to behave, then he would be fed something. So instead of attacking people for food, he was training him to rely on him for food.
Yeah, video games and food is how you got Ed.
Yeah.
To be a compliant zombie.
Yeah, I wonder if he still smokes.
That's a good question.
Do you have to give zombie Ed cigarettes?
Is he still, is his body still addicted? Interesting. Okay. So the next one's my favorite, joking, is the romance zombies.
Yeah.
What's the one that I think romance, was it a TV show or a movie where there was like a boy meets girl?
Twilight.
Wrong. Mystical creature.
They're zombies.
No, you know the one I'm talking about where like,
yeah, it's called
a zombie or she's a zombie. Who's the zombie? I'm so bad at this.
It's called Warm Bodies.
Yes.
It's a movie. And
yes. Tell me about it.
Actually, I've never seen this movie.
Oh.
But the idea is that they're zombies. They're typical Romero type zombies, which we'll talk about later. So they follow standard zombie rules, but there are like some zombies that are skeletons and they're like beyond saving. But anyways, he meets a girl and his heart starts pumping again. Because he meets
that's
his
so
true
sweet.
Love, and she doesn't kill him and instead befriends him, and then they fall in love. And the more in love that he becomes, the more human he becomes. And then the other zombies that are part of his zombie crew, maybe the person who made the BuzzFeed quiz based all of their
only
decision
on
making
Warm Bodies.
On Warm Bodies, the only zombie movie she's seen. I don't want to shit talk our friend at BuzzFeed, Hattie.
Hattie, yeah.
Hattie might be a huge zombie fan. We don't know. Hattie, yeah. If you're listening, be a guest on our podcast. Let's talk about your quiz.
I just want to say very briefly that I'm very entertained that you know more about the plot of Warm Bodies as the person who has not watched it yet than me, the person who did watch it years ago and has
you
forgotten
watched it?
Most of it. Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's what I was. Yeah, I've watched it. And that's why I was like, I know that they were in love and that like love is the ultimate healer,
yeah.
And it brings humanity back. And it's quite lovely. But I couldn't remember which one, like who was the zombie originally. It was the boy that was the zombie.
Yeah. And I, you know, I saw the trailer for it, so I basically know the whole
Well, yeah, movie. They don't exactly
they don't bury
hold
the
back
lead.
Yeah. And then last but not least, the parkour zombie. I don't know about this one. Like, how is that the personality?
I feel like parkour zombie belongs in lethality levels, but we'll just talk about the parkour zombie briefly. In the Dying Light. That's it. It's a game series, video game series. The whole thing is based in, I want to say Brazil. And it's all based around parkour and running for your life. Mm. And the zombies can also do parkour. They can climb buildings with you and jump off of things.
Shit. Yeah, yeah. That's not a personality type. That's a fucking terrifying lethal skill to have.
I'll tell you, that game is kind of fucking scary. We'll have to talk about that game at some point because there was a period of time.
What's it called again?
We're
gonna write it down.
Explosion. That Russ and I, we were like, we should just stream Dying Light like all the time. And then when Dying Light 2 comes out, we'll be the Dying Light guys. And the people who make the game will probably like reach out to us, want to give us the game for free, or maybe like invite us to an event that they're having. And that never happened. And we started playing Dying Light in 2014. And just last year, Dying Light 2 came out.
Wow. that would have taken a lot of dedication.
So long.
2014, almost a decade, yeah. Right? 9 years.
That's almost as long as we played Grand Theft Auto.
Wow, that's wild. Well, I'm gonna add a personality type that's not here that I would call it the like latent memory zombie, which is in the first season of Walking Dead, which I'm very much questioning is anywhere after the first season. We'll see, but they seem to have like I don't know, like a memory zombie. What would you call it? They're not intelligent,
but they have latent memories. They have like ingrained memories that still exist. Like we saw a few examples of this in the first season of The Walking Dead, where some of them were trying to open doorknobs. They were opening doors. They were like
of their house.
Walking up to the front door of their house and like looking at it knowingly. Like,
oh, it was so sad. That's such a classic like scene from The Walking Dead where the mother is trying to get in the house.
Yeah.
But she also looks fucking terrifying.
And it makes sense that they would have this. Like that would make them really dangerous as zombies because like if you get bitten at the grocery store, you know, you're just dangerous to the grocery store. But if you have those latent memories, that means that you're going to bring the virus back home, open the door and walk in and probably attack your family in the middle of the night.
You know, Hattie's question of what who you're going to eat first now makes more sense. If you're a latent memory zombie, you're going to go home. And then there's also
if somebody crosses your path, you're probably going to eat them too. But
well, yeah, on your way, there'll be a snack before the full familial meal. But the other one in the was the very first episode was a little girl who picks up the stuffed rabbit. But there's a few other examples in The Walking Dead.
Yeah. So when Rick first meets the group, they're inside of a department store, and there's a whole bunch of zombies outside of the glass doors. And there's one zombie that has like a brick, and he's using the brick as a tool to smash open the glass. And you don't see that ever again in The Walking Dead. And also when he was climbing the ladder with Glenn, escaping the tank situation.
Yeah.
There was one zombie that was trying to climb the ladder. It got a rung or two up, and they were like, holy shit, they can climb. And they're like, we better climb more. but that zombie never made it up the ladder.
Well, there was also the zombie that was standing on top of the tank that Rick got out of. So they are able to climb, at least in the first season. But I'm really, as we keep watching it, I've already said this to you, I want to see if there's any other examples of that, because I don't think that there are. I think that they leave that on the table. Well, last but not least, we have lethality levels, which I know is your favorite thing to talk about with zombies. So tell us about the different lethality levels of zombies. Dan? You know,
I think that in a lot of cases, people most define a movie or TV show by these types of levels. So like the first one that we have is the slow Romero zombie. So like these are the types that we would see in the George Romero Night of the Living Dead movies, the classic Romero zombie, where they're slow, they're stupid, they're almost so slow that they're not even threatening. But if you get surrounded, that's when you have a problem.
Absolutely, my favorite kind of zombie lethality level: be slow and stupid.
Yeah, please. If they're slow, we have a chance. followed by the fast Romero zombies. They follow the same rules as Romero zombies. You have to shoot them in the head. They are infected by a virus. But the difference is these ones run. They are highly motivated zombies. And the first time we see this, I'm pretty sure. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, people in the comments section or on social media. But the first instance of this is 28 days later. Even though the creator says that he did not make a zombie movie, let's be real.
What?
He did. He definitely did. He said that they're infected. They're humans that are infected, but I'll get into that some other time.
Okay. Yeah, that's wild that he says they're not zombies.
Yeah, he defends to the death that he did not make a zombie movie, but he absolutely did. Okay.
Okay. Whatever makes him sleep at night.
So this also includes the remake of Dawn of the Dead, a classic Romero movie, which George Romero was an executive producer on, made by Zack Snyder, who went on to make a whole bunch of Marvel movies. Hmm. And also a second zombie movie that came out a couple years ago called Army of the Dead, which is technically still in the George Romero zombie universe. And is supposed to be his sequel to his own movie, basically. But we'll have to talk about that. I've not seen it yet, but I've not heard very good things.
This episode has so many small little moments of other things we're going to watch or you've watched. I'm very curious. So that's...
But yeah, they run. They're fast.
They're fucking scary. What is Black Summer? Where would you put them on? Are they just the fast Romero zombie Rage zombie?
They're definitely fast Romero zombies. So Infected Rage Zombie, which is our third section, which is kind of repetitive because I also classified Infected Rage Zombies as Romero zombies. Well, you know what? The difference is these are fast runners, but they don't follow the zombie rules of a George Romero film. You don't have to kill them with a headshot. You can shoot them in the chest and they'll die. They will die from bleeding out. You could cut their throats and they'll die. They're us, but they are infected and they are enraged. And
so who is that? What show was that?
28 Days Later.
Oh, I didn't know that. You didn't have to hit them in the head. I really want to go back and watch that because I did like that movie.
But the dad, I forget his name now, but the dad of the girl in 28 Days Later, he gets blood in his eye from a crow pecking at somebody's dismembered hand or something.
Ugh.
And he turns into a rage zombie because he got a drop of blood in his eye. And when the army comes, they pop up out of the bushes and they blast him. Those are all chest shots. And they drop him like nothing.
I think I'm probably not even able to pay attention to that level of detail because I'm just like, oh God, zombies run. That's how I feel the whole time. All right.
Honestly, it was like even way back in 2003, that was the first thing that I noticed. I'm like, they didn't shoot him in the head. They didn't shoot him in the head. You gotta kill him. But then
incredible.
He didn't get up. And I was like, these are different rules.
Yeah. Breaking the Romero rules. Yeah. But then you have a whole like sub category, which honestly, I'm a little afraid for you to talk about because I know how much you love video games and there's like 800 different kinds.
So I just took these five special zombie types from, I'm forgetting the name of it now. Fuck. Left 4 Dead.
Mm.
Which has been a very popular zombie video game since 2008. And there are two Left 4 Deads, and people are still playing these games. They're still incredible. But they, almost all the zombies are fast Romero zombies. Though I think you can shoot them in the chest, it just does less damage. I always went for headshots, though, so I don't know. I'd have to play the game again.
Just to be sure.
Yeah. But they introduced the concept of, like, mutated zombies. Zombies that aren't, like, you have your regular rank-and-file zombie.
Mm.
But then you have other zombies that have somehow mutated or something has changed them. The first one is the tank. And I think this is like one of the first ones that we see because it's so bizarre. Like I remember the trailers for this game and like it's a whole cinematic thing where they're running from rooftop to rooftop and they go into the street and they're battling zombies and then this fucking tank comes out and it's like twice as tall as a normal human being. So it's like 10 or 15 feet tall. Don't check my math. It's accurate. And it has giant muscles. It's just a big Giga Chad.
This sounds terrible.
The first thing it does is it flips a car and throws it down the street. And, you know, like these tanks, like they probably eat other zombies for sustenance. And that's probably why they get so big is that they're just constantly chewing on other zombies. But they're super strong and they have a lot of hit points. Takes a lot to bring them down. And they're the first time that you realize, holy shit, there aren't just regular zombies in this game. There are things like this, and they are fucking scary. Number two, the hunter, the hoodie zombie.
Oh.
He wears a hoodie.
That just like brings up some weird. Okay.
Yeah, you don't like people that wear hoodies. You tell me every time you see somebody wearing a hood in a show.
It just brings up like, I don't know, it just brings like instantly. I think Trayvon Martin, when you say like hoodie zombies, it's just.
Oh, is that why they killed him? Is that he was wearing a hoodie?
He was wearing a hoodie and his hands in his pocket with some Skittles in it. But because clearly if your hands are in the pocket of your hoodie, then you've got a gun.
Yeah.
But yes, that was why what's his face thought that he was scary was because he had his hoodie on.
Oh.
Third, sort of take it that way there, but that's an Ely where I was like, wait, I don't like
third
this.
Theory. That cop was afraid of Skittles.
It wasn't a cop. It was a random dude. I forget his name right now. Who cares what his name is?
Yeah. I'm mixing up my horrible tragedies.
Yeah, there's too many.
Yeah.
But anyways.
So the hunter.
He
the
probably
hunter...
played this game, is my point, and then associated with his racism.
From this game. Anyways, the hunters, they are intelligent zombies. And and they are intelligent in the way that they hunt their victims like an animal would, instead of how zombies do it by running straight at them. So these hunters, they'll kind of stick back. They can also climb walls. They basically do Spider-Man stuff and they climb walls.
Oh God, no.
And they jump off of roofs And also they have a third thing, which is extra scary, is they vomit out their own intestines and shoot it like a harpoon at somebody.
Oh,
wrap their intestines around somebody's legs and start dragging them towards them.
I gotta give creativity points for that. Yeah. That sounds disgusting.
So like when a hunter's got you, like you'll be playing with friends and then all of a sudden one of your friends will just start screaming as they're being dragged across the ground. They're like, a hunter's got me. And you have to run up and like cut the link somehow or kill the hunter, or else the hunter will pull them all the way back and just completely fuck them up. Just destroy them if you don't get to them in time.
I'm really curious about this next one, Dan. The spitter. Are they spitting at you? Are they spitting disease at you?
They're spitting vomit.
Ew.
So in this game, and actually in a lot of zombie lore, they include this idea that zombie bile is like this highly aromatic thing with a whole bunch of like pheromones in it that attracts zombies, kind of like how hornets attack. You know, they like spray a pheromone and then they're like, everyone come here. This is where you should be finding your food. So the spitter regurgitates their zombie bile in a projectile vomit and tries to vomit on you, which is of course acid and corrosive. So it burns you, but also it basically makes you like a glowing beacon for other zombies to attack. So all of a sudden zombies just come out of the woodwork running straight at you like, food, somebody vomited on you, your food.
This is why I don't play video games. This sounds way too stressful. I'm glad you're dreaming about Excel sheets now. Okay. So there's two more.
Okay.
The boomer and the witch.
The boomer. So the boomer works also similarly to the spitter, except the boomer is somebody that we assume like their intestines got backed up. Basically, they colicked like a horse would, and they're just expanding from all the gases and liquids inside of them. And there's just this massive, massively inflated human being that's just gigantic. And if you shoot a boomer, it explodes.
Oh, God.
So, like, the boomers are really easy to take out because just one bullet and they just go pow. But the explosion can cause you damage. But also, they're filled with zombie bile. So they just explode with bile and spray the walls, the whole room, and causes a whole horde of zombies to come running at you.
This game is fucking ridiculous. I'm sorry. Okay, last but not least, the witch zombie. Is this a magical zombie?
The witch is, if you don't know what the witch is and you start hearing some wailing and crying off in a dark room somewhere, you're in for a fucking world of hurt. The witch is also an intelligent zombie, and this witch, it's presumed that they are crying because they're mourning what they've become and what has happened to their families and everybody that they love. So they basically pick a dark room to stand in and cry.
This is very sad.
The witch, if you don't do anything to upset the witch and you don't get too close to the witch, they will leave you alone.
Hmm.
They won't attack you. But if you are stupid enough to fire a shot at the witch or get too close to it, it will come at you with Ginsu knife hands and with blazing speed, just fucking tear you to shreds.
Mm.
And they are not easy to defeat. They are fast. They are vicious. They are fucking scary because they go from crying to shrieking and coming at your face in like 0 to 100.
I don't like this game. I don't like this game. It's fucking terrible. Well, Dan, I think we've satisfied types of zombies, unless there's anything more you feel.
Well, you were
going to
ask me if
say.
I could combine any of these three categories.
Oh, yeah. What would you? Yeah. Like your ultimate zombie fantasy would be like fast Romero zombie,
uh-huh. Parkour zombie.
Fuck.
And I'd just go classic viral zombie. That's my classic. This is my classic zombie. So if you are curious what my book is like,
It's a parkour viral fast Romero zombie.
Yeah, but it could also be fungal. We don't know. Nobody knows. Or it's magic. Who knows?
I'm gonna go with magical zombie, magical romance, slow. As slow, I said, that gives me the highest
that
likelihood
sounds like you.
Of
slow romance.
Slow romance, yes.
I like Nicole Byer's version of zombies.
Oh my god.
Nicole Byer, what podcast was it from? Was it Why Won't You Date Me?
It was from Why Won't You Date Me. I forget who the guest was, but it was a fellow female comedian who was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And they wrote in like 2 minutes the ultimate arc of a zombie apocalypse movie. Yeah. What was it, Dan?
It was called Apocalypse Sluts. And it's about her and this comedian together going out for a night to party and pick up dudes. And they don't pick up any dudes, and they're really sad about that. But while they're being sad about not being able to pick up any dudes at the club, the zombie apocalypse happens, and they have to survive in the zombie apocalypse. And one of the things that sparked this inspiration was this idea for a scene where Nicole Byer hooks up with a fellow survivor, and he's really into her, and they start having sex. And what she doesn't know is that he was bitten by a zombie. So partway through having sex, he turns into a zombie, and she's just underneath him, just being like, ah!
God, I love her. And also, please, Nicole Byer, first of all, if you're listening to this, I'm going to have an orgasm right now. And secondly, please make that movie. I want to see Apocalypse.
And also, I have some additional ideas. Call me, Nicole Byer, if you want to write this, because I've got so many ideas. also, Nicole Byer can encounter a roaming gang of drag queens.
Oh my god, that's right.
From RuPaul's Drag Race, and they're all like dressed like their Drag Race versions of like a Mad Max apocalypse, and they have like Max apocalypse vehicles, but like all themed in the style of RuPaul's Drag Race, and they are the most feared people in the
apocalypse.
Oh my god,
if I was gonna join a fucking apocalypse group, it would absolutely be the Fierce Drag Queens, 100%.
I mean, they're crafty. They would make so many good survival clothes and weapons and cool car floats.
And they're fierce already. Yeah, like, you already don't fuck fierce with a drag queen. No.
They're gonna be like running from zombies and 6-inch pumps.
Yeah, if you can run in 6-inch pumps, you can survive the zombie. Also, yeah. It's like you could like do some really awesome choreographed death drop zombie scenes, zombie apocalypse scenes.
They could design weapons that are designed to be used in conjunction with a death drop.
Oh, it would be wonderful.
Yeah,
that's
they basically become
fantasy.
Spinning Ginsu blades on the ground after a death drop.
Something that just shoots out of their heels. Who knows? They'd have
yeah,
better
they
ideas
have guns
than we
in
would.
Their heels.
Definitely in their tits.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That would be guns. And shoulder pads.
So, audience, did we miss any types of zombies that you would add to the list? And what's your favorite type of zombie? Let us know.
What zombie would you be? Take the quiz.
Yeah, take that quiz.
Having some airtime.
Find out something about yourself.
Yeah. And I think our next episode is going to be on Plague of the Dead by Z.A. Recht. But I'm mm-hmm. thinking we should include in it a real quick zombie astrology discussion.
Yeah.
As an icebreaker. Yeah.
Let's talk about zombie astrology.
Yeah. Next time. Zombie
next
astrology
time. Yeah.
And Plague of the Dead.
We're going to find out what kind of zombie we are based on our astrological signs.
That's also a science. But before we wrap up, Dan, how is your zombie book going?
Well, you know what? I've had a few good writing days, and they were really good. Like, put down a couple thousand words in a very short period of time and like made some real big moves towards some interesting places that I didn't realize I was going to be going. My characters are at a point where they're telling me the story and I'm
That's
just
incredible.
Dictating it. I'm just like, all right, guys, whatever you think is a good idea.
The boss.
And I'm happy to let them tell me the story because it's a lot of work to think up a story for somebody. Am I do I have multiple personality disorder?
You don't. There's a whole actually there's a whole theory called internal family systems where you have multiple. It's like a like you have multiple parts of yourself. So you're just accessing that, Dan. You don't have multiple personality disorder.
All of my characters seem to be some version of myself in some way.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Even the worst parts of myself.
Well, we all got them.
But other than that, it's been kind of difficult with the icepocalypse, all the other things that have needed to be done. And also my obsession with my fucking spreadsheet. Oh my God. It's been very difficult to stay focused. And there's been a few days this week where I sat down to write and just decided this isn't going to happen today. I am just going to start defrosting the gutters.
Yeah, you'll get back to it. It's just how your brain works. I mean, I remember encountering you in the kitchen one day when I came out from a break during work, and you were just staring out the kitchen window, and you were like, I don't know how long I've been standing here. And now I know what you were thinking about, which was probably your spreadsheet. That's okay.
Probably.
I think we're done for the day. As much as I want to talk about zombie astrology, you're going to save it for next time. And don't forget to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Please leave us your greatest zombie survival tip, and we will read it on air.
Yeah. Follow us, Discord. Click on the Discord link. Go to our Discord. If you never use Discord, it's fun. It's kind of like a message board. Right now I'm a little bit in between social medias. So if there's a demand for me to be on social media with our content, then we'll talk about it at a later point. You know, maybe we'll have an Instagram. Maybe we'll have a TikToks. Maybe we'll have face space.
We're too old for TikTok.
Well, you don't think I could like dance to a meme?
And like, I mean, I would love that content and apps. Oh my God, please. I want it for my birthday.
Yeah.
That's what we're waiting for, folks. Dan on TikTok.
Yeah, get me on those TikToks.
Well, I'm very grateful to be with my old school zombie as a husband.
Yeah.
And if you want to come up here, I'll be the sexy zombie.
I'm looking forward to that. Thanks for stopping by, everyone. Make sure you don't get bit.
Stay alive.
Stay alive. Don't get bit. Unless you want to be a zombie. Then get bit immediately, I guess.
Take the quiz so you at least know which kind you'll be.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Bye.
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 Au revoir.